Welcome to the Rich Thoughts Podcast, where our goal is to glorify God and terrify the devil. Get ready. It's going to be a great journey.
Good morning and welcome to Rich Thoughts for Breakfast.
I'm Harold Herring, and that's my fine wife, Bev. On today's call, we're going to discuss prosperity's priorities. If you're living in great need, lack, or even poverty, it's time for you to leave the financial wilderness that you've been traveling through. God wants you to abound. So we're going to talk about the situation of deep poverty that was changed forever by truth from the Word of God. The Macedonian church was in deep, deep poverty. They were so poor that when they put together a financial gift for the gospel ministry, they had to beg Paul to receive it. 2 Corinthians 8:4, Living Bible. They begged us to take their money so they could share in the joy of helping the Christians in Jerusalem.
Think about that.
Because the Macedonians understood the principle of biblical economics, they later prospered so much so that their testimony was used to encourage all the churches to give. This pattern takes place throughout God's Word. Remember the widow of Zarephath in 1 Kings 17? She was in deep poverty till she cast off fear and gave to God's prophet. When she gave of her food, she became a prosperous woman with more than enough to meet her own needs. If poverty were God's will for his children, he would not bring them out of their circumstances. If it were godly to be poor, God would not have given the widow of Zarephath so much that she and her household did eat for many days. And the barrel of meal wasted not, in other words, wasn't used up. Neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to 1 Kings 17, verses 15 and 16.
And everybody else was suffering.
Yes, they were.
And they had more than enough.
If we do not have enough money to eat or meet our daily needs, then by all means, we need to follow the principles of biblical economics that the widow Zarephath and the church of Macedonia followed. Proverbs 11:25. The liberal soul shall be made fat, and he that watereth shall also be watered himself. We need to remember, God can change our poverty to prosperity. Even when we're down to the last few crumbs. He did it in Bible days, and he's willing to do it for us today.
The first principle, number one, God's law of release. Poverty is not an accident, and neither is prosperity. There are spiritual laws that govern both. And the spiritual law of release says, be willing to release for increase. Proverbs 11:24 and 25 say, there is he that scattereth and yet increaseth, and there is he that withholdeth more than is meat, but it tendeth to poverty. The liberal soul shall be made fat, and he that watereth shall be watered also himself. God makes it clear in the scripture, if you scatter your money, it will increase and you will become prosperous. If you hoard too much, more than is proper, it'll end up making you poor. God's spiritual law will not change, no matter how uncomfortable it makes a person feel. And you might be saying, well, Brother Harold and Sister Bev, do you mean that I have to start giving away my money if I want to be prosperous? That doesn't make any sense. And you're right. In the eyes of the world, it doesn't make any sense. But God's spiritual laws do not always make worldly sense, but they are his truth and they will always work. God's spiritual laws don't change. Release and increase, prosper, retain and decrease, tend to poverty. Luke 6:38 says, give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall give unto your bosom, for with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. Remember that prosperity is not an accident, and neither is poverty. When we put God's spiritual laws of increase into action, we can expect God's promised law of increase to operate in our lives. He is no respecter of persons.
Absolutely. Number two, put God first. To understand and apply God's principles of increase, you must first establish God's proper spiritual order in your life. Matthew 22, verse 37 and 38. Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. There is no doubt about it. God should be first. Not a single soul in all of Christianity would disagree with that statement. I do not know of one doctrine, one church, one preacher, one teacher, or Christian philosopher who would argue that principle. To make a major breakthrough in the spiritual area of finances, your spiritual priorities must be absolutely straight. God must be first in every aspect of your life, and not just in passive agreement, but in your daily actions. God must come before money. If you spend 3 minutes a day praying and then 10 hours a day going after more money, then who or what is your God? Think about that. God must come before your own pleasure. If all your pleasure time is spent pursuing pleasure, reading magazines, watching television, surfing the internet, while the Bible gathers dust on the dining room table, then who or what is your God? Yes, God must come even before your precious children. Family activities should assume their proper priority only when God is the head of the household. God is first. Exodus 20, verse 3. I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. If you want your giving to be effective, you must be sure that your priorities are clear and in scriptural order. Is there any area of your life that ranks above God? If there is, repent and change. Remember, Jesus himself put proper order into focus. Matthew 6:33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. The careful ordering of your priorities is necessary to bring forth the things you need and want. Like many people, you may be surprised when you find out who should come after God in your list of priorities. Ready? It's you. That's right. The Bible declares that you're second. Matthew 22:39-40. And the second commandment is like unto you. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Most of us are pretty good about taking care of ourselves. Each month we manage to make the house payment, car payment, meet most of our needs, including clothing, education, even entertainment. We know fairly well how to love ourselves second, but the hard part is how we are supposed to love our neighbor the same way. Scripture says clearly that you're second. However, your neighbor is also second. Your neighbor is every man, woman, boy, and girl in the world, regardless of whether he or she is saved or lost. We must be conscious of our neighbor's specific needs, whether they're spiritual, physical, or financial. To be in the center of God's will, to avoid blocking any of the good things that God has for you, you must have as much concern for other people as you have for yourself. God wants you to prosper so that you can help others around you to prosper spiritually, physically, and financially. If you get these two priorities straight, God first, others second, it won't be long before you'll be in the center of God's will. Then you begin to optimize the flow of God's abundance in your life. If all the saints called this vision, it would be only a very short time till we would see multitudes of people come to Jesus. The Apostle John prayed for prosperity and health. But notice both these benefits or linked to our soul's priority. That scripture says, 3 John 2, Beloved, I wish above all things that may us prosper and be in health, even as our soul prospereth. Hallelujah. There's no prosperity for the soul that neglects the two greatest commandments. We must put God first, ourselves and our neighbor second.
Number 3, tithe off the top. To operate the principles of increase in your life, not only must your priorities concerning God be proper, but your priorities in your giving need to be clear also. A major question many Christians have asked us as they begin to put their financial house in order was, do I tithe before or after I pay my bills? Many people, maybe we could also say, do I tithe before or after on my gross or my net?
Yes.
Many people will pay all their bills, and then if there's, you know, after all their financial obligations are met, they'll tithe to God out of the remaining money. That may be a common practice, but it is not what the Bible teaches. Deuteronomy 26, verses 2, 5, 10, and 12. This is in Deuteronomy 26, 2, 5, 10, and 12. It says, I'm taking parts now. Thou shalt take of the first of all the fruit of the earth, which thou shalt bring of thy land that the Lord thy God giveth thee, and shalt put in a basket, and shalt go into a place which the Lord thy God shall choose to place his name there. And thou shalt speak and say before the Lord thy God, and now, behold, I have brought the first fruits of the land which thou, O Lord, hast given me, and thou shalt set it before the Lord thy God and worship before the Lord thy God when thou hast made an end of tithing. The process of bringing the first fruits to God before paying the bills is called tithing. God's word says you should tithe before you do anything else with your fruit or your income, because this was an agrarian society. They brought the first fruits. And you could say, well, Brother Harold and Sister Beth, if I tithe first, I won't have enough to pay my bills. Hey, think of how that statement is full of unbelief. If you believe that, you're not believing that the tithe will open the windows of heaven, which is what God promised in Malachi 3. You see, tithing establishes a kind of relationship between you and God that will make you prosper. It brings you before the open windows of heaven, and literally this means the treasure house of God is now open to you. We could do a whole session on this, honey. If you put God first, as he says, then surely he will bless you. We need to be wise enough, please, to see that if you tithe and make offerings after the bills are all paid, you're leaving yourself at the mercy of your bills. With this action, your tithes and offerings are subject to and under the control of your bills. But if you tithe first and give a generous offering, then your bills come under the control of your tithes and offerings. Hallelujah. Malachi 3, 10 and 11 speaks of open heavens for tithing and uninterrupted harvests for your offerings. As long as you have bills, always keep them in their proper place behind the tithe. Put God's business first and foremost, and he, hallelujah, will put your business first and foremost.
Hallelujah.
There's so much we could teach on this principle.
And we've got a lot more to teach. We'll pick it up again tomorrow.
That's it.
Hallelujah. If you're blessed by the teaching and ministry, go to haroldherring.com. Click the button that says sow a seed. Just ask God what seed to sow. And until tomorrow morning at 8:30, God bless you. Happy trails.
And keep thinking rich thoughts.
We love you. We appreciate you. God bless you. Bye-bye.